But we do want to look to God's Word, and I want to direct our attention back to Ephesians 1 and verse 11. And as we typically do, want to say a few words to our children before some of them will be dismissed, and then we'll move into things in earnest as well. But we like to say a few things to the children to help them understand and to provide this as an opportunity for parents to be continually encouraging and nurturing God's truth and the hope of the gospel in your children's lives. And so look to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11, and I just want to read the beginning of verse 11, even as I did a couple of weeks ago. We're coming back to this passage, but look at what the Holy Spirit says here through the Apostle Paul at the beginning of verse 11. In Him we have obtained an inheritance. In Him, and that's referring to in Jesus Christ, we have obtained an inheritance. We have been given an inheritance. And children, the thought that I'd like to hold before you, the big idea that we're going to see today and look at very fully in light of this inheritance that believers have been given in Christ, the big idea is this, that God is enough. God is enough. He's enough for all that we need all the time and in every situation. Because He has given us this inheritance in Christ. If we are trusting Christ, if we are Christians, if we belong to Him, God is enough. And if you have God through faith in Jesus Christ, you have all you need. You have all you need always if you have God through faith in Christ. One way we might think about this is, I just want you to use your imagination, okay? In the world that we live, we have a lot of physical needs. We need food, we need clothing, we need shelter, and all those kinds of things. Imagine what it would be like if the owner of a big, massive, giant Target superstore, okay, the biggest store that you could ever imagine, came to you and said, "You know what? I just want you to know that everything that I have and everything that's in my store is yours whenever you need it." Could you imagine that happening? That would be crazy. Anytime you needed food, anytime you needed clothing, and let's just imagine for the sake of this being like a really big Target store, imagine that it sold furniture, imagine that it sold cars, so when you get old enough to drive, you'll need a car, you can get a car, and just imagine that it has every physical thing that you could imagine. That's crazy, and all the owner says is you just need to come to me and ask me, and I'll give you what you need from my store because I have it all. Now, if that happened, and if somebody did that, and if you had access to this massive, giant Target store, why would you ever think or desire to go anywhere else? You wouldn't need to, right? Because they're at that store, and with that owner, you'd have all that you need. Well, in a much greater way, not only for physical needs, but for all of our spiritual needs as well. Forgiveness and wisdom and mercy and grace and strength and help and counsel and all of the spiritual needs that we have, God says to us, if you have me, you have everything you need. And He says, I'm enough. And that's what we're going to see more fully this morning in light of this inheritance that we've been given, that if we are trusting Christ and if we belong to God through faith in Christ, we have everything that we need. And if that is true, why would we ever look anywhere else for all the things that God is and for all that God would desire to give us in Christ? And He knows our needs. So that's the big idea we're looking at this morning. Again, just kind of boil it down to this statement, God is enough. God is enough. So with that, we want to go ahead and dismiss the young ones. They're welcome to remain in here for families that desire, but for others, we also have classes available for them, teaching God's Word in a way that is focused upon their abilities and attention to receive it. So those young ones and teachers can go ahead and go and enjoy a great time together. And for the rest of us, as I've done from week to week as we've been in Ephesians 1, though we're once again going to be zeroing in on verse 11, I'd like us to read verses 3 through 14 just to be reminded again of the whole context of these spiritual blessings that God has given in Christ to those who belong to Him. So once again, let's look to verse 3 and let's hear the word of our living God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Him we've obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the Holy Spirit, with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. This is God's living word. Let me lead us in prayer once again. And our Father, we do look to You, acknowledging that we are completely dependent upon You to enlighten our eyes, to help us to understand, to help us to see the greatness of Your glory and of Your purposes in the Lord Jesus Christ. And even as we hear these words that have become familiar to so many of us, O God, may You grant fresh understanding and fresh insight and fresh regard for the greatness and the grandeur of who You are and the magnitude of the work that You have designed from eternity past, that You have accomplished in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that You have brought to bear in our lives and in the lives of Your people through the work of the Holy Spirit. We pray that Your Holy Spirit even now would help us to receive what You desire and to hear and to understand and to respond in faith. Faith that would express itself in adoration and in greater dependence and in greater obedience to You in the great hope of this saving work that You have accomplished in Christ. We trust You to do Your work even as You've promised. In His mighty name, amen and amen. Well, we are back in this passage. And again, this is the big idea that God is enough. And as we also saw a couple of weeks ago, as we began to look at verses 11 and 12, that every Christian, every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ possesses the full inheritance of the fullness of God. Every single believer possesses the full inheritance of the fullness of God. And in a very real sense, as we find in our text, Christians inherit God. That is the nature of the inheritance that He has given, is the fullness of His triune nature, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the fullness of all of the spiritual blessings that He's given in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those very blessings that Paul takes much time to identify in this anthem of praise that runs from verse 3 through verse 14. And so every Christian possesses the full inheritance of the fullness of God. And in this anthem of praise, as Paul is giving praise for the electing grace of the Father, as he is giving praise for the redeeming work of the Son, as he is giving praise for the guaranteeing seal of the Spirit, he is starting here in this letter to the Ephesians because he is burdened that the Ephesians would have their hearts and have their minds fully saturated with the greatness of God and with the glory of the blessings that he's given in Christ. And that's why after he expresses all that he does in verses 3 to 14, he goes to prayer and he tells in verse 15 and following, he tells the believers how it is he is praying for them, that God might work so that in light of all of these blessings, God's people would know the hope and the riches and the power of all that we have been given and all that we've been called to in Jesus Christ. Now, in the section in which we're in with verses 11 and 12, it's a part of the broader section that actually begins in verse 7, where Paul is focusing on praising God for the redeeming work of the Son. And as he speaks of the reality of this redemption, that in and through the blood, in and through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, redemption has been secured. God has delivered his people through the death of his Son from their sin and from the power of that sin and from bondage to that sin. And in that redemption, there are riches that flow. And that's what Paul then begins to speak of. He speaks of forgiveness in verses 7 and 8. And he speaks of the knowledge that God has given us. He has revealed the mystery of his will. That which had previously not been revealed in the old covenant, now in the new is revealed. And Paul himself knew that he was an instrument of that revelation as the Holy Spirit was giving revelation, which of course is now recorded for us in his letters, in Paul's letters in the New Testament, along with the rest of the New Testament revelation. All of this is the knowledge of his will that he has given. And so he's given the riches of forgiveness, the riches of knowledge. And now in verses 11 and 12, he speaks of the riches of this inheritance. And this is really the theme that carries on not only through verse 12, but as you'll note, it carries on into verses 13 and 14 as well. As we began to look at this a couple of weeks ago, I held before you what we find in verses 11 and 12 are three aspects of this inheritance that we could call the what, the how, and the why. The what of the inheritance, the how of the inheritance, and the why of the inheritance. The what of the inheritance is the gift of God's inheritance. We find that in that opening statement. In him, we have obtained an inheritance. A very direct, very clear statement speaking of the gift that God has given of his inheritance. And then the how of this inheritance, we could call the ground or the foundation of this inheritance, is spoken of there at the end of verse 11. Having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So we see the how, the ground of God's inheritance, and then the why, the goal of this in verse 12, that God would be glorified. In verse 12 echoes this statement centering for us why God is doing all of this for the glory of his name. So it's all for his glory. And again, that statement is echoed again at the end of verse 14, to the praise of his glory. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we began to look at the what, the gift of God's inheritance. And that's where we camped 2 weeks ago. And with what we looked at there, I was constrained to want to spend a bit more time there this morning to more fully and clearly understand the nature of this inheritance that God has given. And so that's what we're really going to look at again this morning. Just that very first phrase, as Paul says, in him we have obtained an inheritance. And when he speaks of this inheritance there, the term that is used and the verb that is used has to do with inheriting or receiving something by lot. And it has to do with God having chosen us to receive this inheritance. And it's very much connected with this matter of God's electing grace, which Paul speaks of back in verse 4 and 5. And again, it's very directly connected, as we see not only in verse 11, but again back in verse 5, with God's predestining his people to receive the blessings of this inheritance. And so a couple of weeks ago, we looked at who it is that receives this inheritance, namely Christians, those who believe on the Word of God, who believe on Jesus Christ through the testimony of God's Word, those who hear the Word and those who receive the Word by faith. We saw also that Paul is emphasizing about this inheritance. You know, I think I'm going to need to draw this to a close. I'm just a little there's just a little too much going on in here, and I'm concerned that it would be too distracting to what the Lord would desire for us this morning. And so I think what we're going to do is I'm going to lead us in prayer, and I think we'll sing, and I think we will share a briefer time together this morning and just trust the Lord with this, because I don't want the fullness and the significance of all that is in here to be lost. And so let me just briefly tell you where I was going to go, okay? I won't tell you all of it, but I'll tell you where I was going to go. In understanding that this inheritance is the fullness of God in His triune nature, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's the fullness of all of the blessings that He has given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, which He outlines for us here in this passage. And we see that made reference to throughout His letter to the Ephesians. That's what I wanted us to see and to look at. Let me give you a couple of cross-references that on your own you can look at that reinforce these things in the mind of Paul, which is ultimately expressing the mind of God Himself. One of them is Romans chapter 8, verses 15 to 17, and then Galatians chapter 3, verse 25, through Galatians 4, verse 7. Another passage where Paul speaks about the inheritance that we have, very much being connected with our being adopted as sons through faith in Jesus Christ, as God's children through faith in Jesus Christ. So Galatians 3, verse 25 through Galatians 4, verse 7. And then what I was planning to do, and which we, Lord willing, will do next week, was to go to Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. Which is the parable of what we often refer to as the parable of the prodigal son, the parable of the lost son. It might better be titled the parable of the compassionate, generous, joyful father, because that's really the focus of that parable. And to look at that and to see in that parable an illustration and a demonstration of the father's compassionate, rich, joyful inheritance that He gives to His son. Even His son who had rejected Him and rebelled against Him for the sake of doing His own thing. When the son came to the end of himself, when he genuinely repented, he was restored to the father. And the son came to understand, the son who had rebelled came to understand that what he needed was not so much what the father gave, but he needed the Father and to be restored to the Father. And it is a rich and a dramatic illustration of this reality, that the very essence of becoming a Christian is to come to terms with the fact that outside of faith in Christ, you are separated from the Father, you have forsaken the Father, you've rebelled against the Father, but now in Christ and through Christ, you can be reconciled to the Father. And that the fullness of the wonder of the Father's compassion, His generous compassion, His joyful compassion, is to restore you to the full privileges of being His child. And so that's connected with this matter of the inheritance that we have. And if we have God, if we have all that He has given, if we are trusting Him, beloved, He's enough. He's enough. And the more that we grow in this knowledge of our inheritance in Him, even as He would have us to grow, that's why He's given us His word, even as He would have us to grow, the more confident we are in this inheritance, the more content we are in this inheritance, the more we are willing to, by faith, submit to His will and to submit even to whatever suffering He ordains in our lives as we submit to His will, as we let go in our hearts of all of the things in the world that we so easily lay hold of, people and relationships and possessions and experiences and desires and all of those things, as we let go of all of those things as any sense of our inheritance and find our all only in God, it's then that we are all the more fully able by faith to trust Him, to submit to Him, and to endure whatever suffering He ordains for us as we live to the praise of the glory of His grace. So that's a flavor of the places I was going to go, and maybe that'll just give you some nuggets to chew on and to think on and to pray about. But beloved, if you have God in Christ, you have enough. And he desires you to know him and to know the fullness of who he is, the fullness of all that he's given, and to walk worthy in light of that. That's the heart of Paul's thrust through the letter. That's the heart of what the Holy Spirit continually says. So we'll trust the Lord for everything this morning, even the time that we spend here. Trust that he will use his word as he always does for his purposes in our lives. But with that, let me go ahead and lead us in prayer as we'll conclude this time. Oh, Father, we thank you that you are compassionate, infinitely generous, infinitely joyful over the repentance of your people. And Lord, even as we see demonstrated in that parable with the lost son and how the father not only welcomes him back, but welcomes him back lavishly and throws a feast and delights in the joy of what has transpired with this son who was lost being found, this one who was blind being given sight again. Oh God, so is your joy over all of your people. So is your joy over each one of us. Lord, I pray that these truths would be driven into each one of our hearts and minds all the more fully, and that our faith might be concurrently strengthened in you, that we might live to the praise of the glory of your grace, and that you would bless each man and woman to that end even today. And Father, that you would bring to yourself any who are in a place of rebellion even now, who are living outside of fellowship and communion and relationship with you, who would rather be pursuing the seductive allurements of sin than to be submitting to you in your holiness and in your goodness and your wisdom and your love. God, if there are any such ones among us this morning, may you be pleased, even through your word, to draw them to yourself, that they might repent and that they might acknowledge their need of you, and that they would trust all the provision you've given through Christ, the one who would bear their sin and who would satisfy your wrath in their place as they would look to him. Oh God, we pray that you would bring such salvation. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the riches of the inheritance that you've given. And we pray all of this in Christ's mighty and glorious name. Amen.